We will just continue that journey we started a few weeks ago around the doctrine of praise. And I hope it's been instructive and you've been able to learn a few things from what we've been talking about. Well, so if you have your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, run all the way quickly with me to Philippians chapter 4. Right, look at Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, look at Philippians chapter 4 quickly. Let me help you see a few things. So if you go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, see what it says there. It says, for we are, verse 3, Philippians 3, 3. a lot to say in Philippians 3, but let's just look at Philippians 3, 3 for today. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Did you see that? Yeah, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, one of the things you want to pay attention to is what we've been saying over the past few weeks, what the concept of worship is and what the concept of praise is. And fundamentally, we have said that worship doesn't have to do or deal with slow songs and praise faster songs. We've said particularly when you think about worship, you think about offerings, then think about sacrifices. Now look at something carefully in chapter 4, Philippians 4. Go to the next book here quickly, Philippians chapter 4. If we go all the way to Philippians 4, verse verse 15. Look at verse 15. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Now, so what is notwithstanding? Well, notwithstanding cannot be the beginning of a thought. So it means ideally you should read Philippians 4:14 from the previous verses, possibly the previous chapters, before you get to chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 14. So notwithstanding, you don't stand up and wake up and make a statement that starts with notwithstanding, right? So it means notwithstanding will be in context of what was said earlier on. Just peep a little to verse 13, right? Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, notwithstanding. Now, what is I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? Go back to verse 12. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So it means that Paul is talking about two faces or two phrases or two aspects or you'll call part of his life. One that has to do with abasing and one that has to do with abounding, right? One that has to do with being full and one that has to do with being hungry. Yeah, one that has to do with abounding and one that has to do with suffering need. So did Paul, was Paul a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yes. Was Paul an apostle? Yes. Was Paul a teacher of the word? Yes. Can a teacher of the word suffer need? Yes. Paul is an example. Yeah. I am an example. Okay. So I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me will be, regardless of the circumstance, both either abounding or suffering need. My attention on the source of my strength really is from Christ. Are we together? Well, so notwithstanding, ye have done well. So regardless of, oh, well, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So what will affliction be regarding abounding and suffering need? Affliction will be around suffering need. So Paul will say they communicated to his affliction in that they communicated to him in the fact in his suffering or in his need suffering or in suffering of need. I was together, look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning what? Giving and receiving. But ye only, right? So he's saying, so he first said that, oh, well, they communicated to his affliction. He now goes further and says that no one communicated with him regarding giving and receiving as much as the Philippians. Are we together, right? Now, so the Philippians will be part of the churches in Macedonia. Are we together? Yeah, if you peep through to 2 Corinthians 8, you'll see the conversation around the Macedonians being in deep poverty, right? So in their deep poverty, they gave, Nothing in scripture infers that because they gave, they became richer, right? So it means that when Paul is going to be teaching concerning giving and receiving, he's not saying that they received more money because they gave some money, or they received more affluence because they gave whatever, they sowed the seed and all of that, right? So look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So he called it suffer need. So he suffered need, his suffering need in verse 12, right? Is his affliction in verse 14, right? And his necessity in verse 16, right? Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Yeah? So what with fruit that may abound into your account? It will be in regards to concerning giving and receiving. And if we say that giving and receiving is not give, so you get more, right? Based on the example we see in 2 Corinthians 8, it means that desiring fruit to abound in their account will not be more money comes to their account or more things come to their account on account of the fact that they gave. Together, but look at verse 18. I don't want to emphasize on that because we're going to treat that in the next series possibly. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, right? So I am full, right? Having received. So his fullness in this context will be about receiving. Now, what did he receive? He received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So the Philippians will send something to Paul, right? Through Epaphroditus. Paul will say that that thing you are sending shows a conversation around giving and receiving. Paul will say that, oh, you have brought this to me that it may abound to your account. Are we together? All right. But I have so nothing in scripture infers that upon account of sending Epaphroditus with the seed, the Philippians became wealthy. All together, right? So look at what he's saying here. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, see what he calls the things sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Look at that carefully. So an odor of a sweet smell, okay? A sacrifice acceptable, okay? A sacrifice acceptable, okay? Well pleasing to God. Are we together? So what did Paul call what he received from the Philippians through Epaphroditus? I'm getting so interested in going into the next series in the coming days. But what exactly did he call that which he received from the Philippians through the hands of Epaphroditus? He says, the things which he sent to me, the things I've received from you, he calls it an odor of sweet smell. So is there an odor of sweet smell? Yes, right? A sacrifice acceptable. So it means another way of saying a sacrifice acceptable is an odor of a sweet smell, right? Or the sacrifice that is acceptable is the odor of a sweet smell. Or the sacrifice that is acceptable has an odor of a sweet smell. Do you get that? Right? So I have received the Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So are there sacrifices well-pleasing to God? Yes. Are there sacrifices well-pleasing to God? Yes. Are there sacrifices acceptable? Yes. All right. Go all the way to Genesis chapter 4 quickly. Genesis chapter 4. Over the past 2 weeks, I was teaching about Cain, Abel, offering, brought, and all of that. And I saw a lot of questions on the faces of some of you. And I thought that before going into details of that or with that in the next series, let me just touch it a little, right? So look at Genesis chapter 4, right, verse 4. Right, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect. That means the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So, from Paul's use of words, what will you say about Abel's offering? You will say offering acceptable. You will say offering accepted. You will say offering that is a sweet smelling, an odor of sweet smell. You will say an offering that is well pleasing to God. So is there an offering that is well pleasing to God? Yes. An example of the person that brought it in Genesis is Abel. So Abel will bring an offering that is well pleasing to God. Right? Look at it again. Abel will bring an offering that is well pleasing to God. Now, the Philippians will be the Abel that will bring a well pleasing offering to God. Did you get that? Look at that carefully. Abel will be the one that will bring a sweet smelling offering. Now, mind you, so Abel is to bring a sweet smelling offering to who? Okay. Let me say it this way. So Abel will bring an acceptable offering to somebody. Now, the question in your mind is that somebody God or man? All right. Okay. Right. So the Philippians will bring a sweet smelling savour, sacrifice acceptable to somebody. Now, the question is that somebody man or God? Did you get that? Right? So when you find out from Paul's perspective, you find out from Abel's perspective. So for the Philippians, they will bring a well-pleasing sacrifice. Who was it to? Who was it for? Well, they will bring it to man. Who is the man? Paul. So let me say it differently. Who is to receive the sacrifice of the Philippians? Yeah? A man, Paul. So by extension, who was to receive the sacrifice of Abel? Well, a man. Did you see that? So when Paul received the sacrifice of Philippians, what did Paul call it? It is well pleasing to God, right? Did God receive it? Well, God received it in that it is well pleasing to God, right? So the Philippians, right, will bring an offering, they will bring a sacrifice, and they will bring it to and for. Right? And from Philippians, you see that 2 and 4 is actually 2 and 4 Paul. So Epaphroditus will take from Philippians, bring it to Paul, right? Or take it for Paul, and Paul will receive. So Paul, a man, will receive the sacrifice or the offering, and Paul, the man, will say that sacrifice is well pleasing to God. All right? So Moses will now tell you in Genesis 4. Right, he will say, and Abel also brought the first thing of his fruit. And he says that the Lord had respect unto Abel. What is the Lord had respect unto Abel? It is that it is well pleasing unto God. Are you following me? Right? It is well pleasing unto God. It is well pleasing unto God. It is well pleasing unto God. So who was able to take that sacrifice of firstlings of flock or fat thereof too? You see, don't forget Isaiah 1. We'll go back there today. Are you together? Right? So the sacrifice of Abel will be well pleasing to God. That means so you can say that in Philippians 4, what Paul was saying is that the gifts that they brought through Epaphroditus, God had respect unto the gifts. How did he say God have respect unto the gift? He says, it is well pleasing to God. It is well pleasing to God. It is well pleasing to God. Are we together? So look at verse... So look at verse 4 again, right? And Abel, he also brought of a firstling. That means he brought an offering. Summarize it. How do you know he summarized it? Look at the last word in verse 4. What's the word? His offering. So when you see firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof put into bracket, his offering. So how do you read verse 4? Abel, he brought his offering. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. Yeah? So look at it. What is the Lord had respect unto Abel? It is well pleasing to God. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. What is that? It is not well pleasing to God. It is not, right? So there are two types of sacrifices. There is one that is well pleasing to God, right? Abel brought an example of one that is well pleasing to God, right? Epaphroditus, the Philippians, through Epaphroditus, will bring a sacrifice or an offering. You know, what did Paul say? He says, it's a sacrifice accepted. Right? So, Philippians will bring a sacrifice to Epaphroditus, and it will be called a well-pleasing sacrifice to God. So, it means that Epaphroditus can as well bring a sacrifice to Paul. And Paul will say, this is not well-pleasing to God. Or another way in Moses' system, it will be, God has no respect to this. Right? So, God had no respect to this. You see what I'm saying there, right? So what exactly is sacrifice going to teach fundamentally? Sacrifices will teach fundamentally an expression of love. Oh, okay. Well, how did you get to that conclusion? Well, go all the way to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you something quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you something quickly. Are you there? So, look at Ephesians 5. Let me show you something quickly. We touched this a lot under the wooden love. Now, look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. What does it say? Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And do what? And walk in love. Watch what I'm about to read to you right now. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us. Right? So we walk in love as Christ has loved. Right? So look at it carefully. Walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Right? To God. Okay? Okay, watch that carefully. Right, look at that carefully. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That means mimic God. Copy and paste what you see in God. He now says, in case you missed that point, look at verse 2. Walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us. So who did Christ give himself for? For us, okay? What did he give himself as? An offering, a sacrifice to God. Take it easy there, right? So who is the sacrifice of Jesus to God or to man? Fundamentally, we've taught over the past few weeks that the sacrifice of Jesus is to man, right? God was not bloodthirsty. God was not looking for blood. Are we together, right? So he says that Christ had given himself for us an offering. So what is to God in this conversation? To God in this conversation will be for a sweet smelling savour. So is that well pleasing? Right? So look at it this way. Walk in love. What is walk in love? Walk in love as Christ has given, right? Himself as a sacrifice. So it means that Christ will give an offering for us. Then we receive that offering. Then to God, it is well-pleasing, right? So man will take that example, look at it, and walk in love as Christ. So man will take that example and copy it, right? And man will have the concept of bringing offerings and sacrifices. And what do we say again? It is a sweet-smelling savour, right? That means it is well-pleasing to God. It is well-pleasing to God. It is well-pleasing to God. So what is not well-pleasing to God? Look at verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, right? Look at verse 4. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, we are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, right? For this ye know that no womonger, no unclean person, no covetous. So it means that all of these things will be concepts that will be built out from not walking in love. Now, what are you to do? You are to walk in love. So what did the Philippians do to Paul? They walked in love. Right, they saw the sacrifice of Christ. Did you get that right? So they saw the sacrifice of Christ and obeyed Ephesians 5:2. What is Ephesians 5:2? And walk in love as Christ has loved. Right. So Paul will say, "You gave to me through Epaphroditus. In your giving to me through Epaphroditus, that is well pleasing to God." Altogether, that is well pleasing to God. So it is acceptable, well pleasing. So what is the well pleasing sacrifice in the eyes of God. So has God given you a well-pleasing sacrifice? Yes, he gave you his son, gave you himself as a well-pleasing sacrifice, right? Now, so what are you to do? You are to give yourself for another as a well-pleasing sacrifice. So what's the summary of giving well-pleasing sacrifice? It is the summary called walking in love. Altogether. So it means offering, sacrifice will be a way to talk about the love walk, right? As Christ loves, we walk. So let me ask you a question, right? Who was the recipient, or who was to be the recipient, or who would have been the recipient of Abel's offering that was well pleasing to God? It will be an example of the man Paul. Do you understand? Yeah, it will be an example of a man. Right? Just like Paul. Yeah? So it means there was a Paul in the context of Genesis 3 and 4 that should have been considered. We're talking about the sacrifice that is well-pleasing and the sacrifice that is not well-pleasing. So did God consider or have respect towards Abel's offering? Yes, in that Abel was a man that responded to the love work of God. Are we together? So Abel will hear the message of love and respond to it. So what did Cain not? So who is Cain? Cain is one that did not hear, that heard the message of love and did not respond to love. So what will you say? It's not a well-pleasing sacrifice to God. Okay, go all the way to 1 John. Look at 1 John. Let me show you something. It should come alive now. Look at 1 John, yeah? If you go all the way to 1 John chapter 11. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at the stain. Look at the stain. Look at the stain. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. It says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain. Did you see that? Not as Cain. So who is Cain? Genesis 4. Fundamentally, Cain is an example of one that loveth not his brother. Did you see that? Is it coming out? Like, yeah? So what exactly is the sacrifice Cain brought to the table? Is a sacrifice of not loving his brother. Right? So it means that if that sacrifice of not loving his brother was a sacrifice Cain brought and it wasn't acceptable, it means that Cain did not walk in love. Right, so Cain should have walked in love as the instruction of Paul in Ephesians 5. Well, Cain should have walked in love as an admonition, as a similar context of the Philippians walking in love towards another man called Paul. This is what I just showed you, right? So look at it again. So I just read verse 10 and jumped to verse 12, but we read verse 11. So in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother, right? Not as Cain. That means Cain is a fundamental example that John is using to show of someone that loveth not his brother. Are we together? So what will you call that one that loveth not his brother? Is a stinking, dirty smelling odor. Yeah, but there's a sweet smell, there's a sacrifice acceptable, and there is what? The well-pleasing sacrifice to God. Yeah, so this is linked into our previous series, the wooden love. Altogether, love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that mean? Love thy neighbor as thou have been loved, right? Show love, following the example of love that God has given you, or show sacrificial love, or offer yourself, right, sacrificially for another, just as God offered himself sacrificially for you. So let's read verse 10 into verse 11, then verse 12. Then let me show you something now, okay? All right, so look at verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil, right? Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now look at verse 11 carefully. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right, so what's the message from the beginning, that we should love one another? So what is the fundamental message preached from the beginning? Love. So what is the message that Abel heard? And he responded as with a well-pleasing sacrifice, that we should love one another. You see that? Look at verse 11 again. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Yet if Paul would have written this, Paul would say that ye should love one another as Christ has loved us. Yeah, giving himself as an offering, a sacrifice. Ephesians 5. Are you following? Right? Let me take my pace down a little, okay? So look at verse 11 again. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Right? So it means the fundamental message from the beginning is love, 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 love. So God will now, via Christ Jesus, demonstrate what love really should be like or should seem like. Then all will hear of it and write of it and say, walk in love as that template you see in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 12. Not as king, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. So who is Cain? Cain is an example of one that loved not his brother. Right? So did Cain bring a sacrifice? Yes. What is the sacrifice Cain brought? Cain brought a sacrifice of not loving one another. Right? And wherefore he slew he him. Because his own works were evil, right? So Cain's works will deal with his sacrifices, and it will deal with what? That which is not walking in love. See what it says? And wherefore he slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. So what does his brother righteous mean? His brother's work will be termed righteous because it is in alignment with the message of love, 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 love that has been preached from the very beginning. I hope you're following. Now look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So what is if the world hate you? If Cain and his brothers hate you. Yeah? Cain and his brothers will be Cain and those that will walk in the like or light of Cain by bringing a non-well-pleasing or not acceptable sacrifice. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we're together. And whosoever hateth, that means, so it means that he that loveth not his brother is one not expressing that which is full of life. What is that which is full of life? That which is full of love. Did you get that? Right? So he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Right? Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. What is a murderer? Is a murderer will not be that you take a knife to stab another. It is that you did not bring a well-pleasing sacrifice. Right? And you know that no murderer had everlasting life abiding in him. You get that, right? So, I hereby perceive with the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Are we together? So Abel will be an example of sacrificial giving, right? So he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Don't forget, John tells you this is the message from the beginning, right? So look at verse 17. But whosoever had this world's good, the Philippians, and seeth his brother Paul have needs, and shutteth up his brothers of compassion, what is he doing? He is not walking in love, or he is not bringing a sacrifice that is acceptable. Did you get that? So, did God have regard for Abel's sacrifice? Yes. Did God have regard for Cain's sacrifice? No. What is the difference? Abel heard the message of love and brought on account of the message of love a well-pleasing sacrifice. So that it is acceptable to God doesn't mean that God benefited from the sacrifice. So did Abel bring an offering? Yes. What was his offering about? Fat of beasts and firstlings of animals and all of that. Yeah. But did he bring it to God? Oh well, yes, in that he is to bring it to man. Did God benefit from it? No. Look at Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Yeah, go all the way to Isaiah 1. Let me show you something there. Yeah, we've looked at this a couple of times this last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ye unto the Lord our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? You see, this is an utterance that you will see from the lips of Isaiah, or the writings of Isaiah in the book of Isaiah, right? And Isaiah will say, God is saying, how do you know he's God? Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of God. Yeah? To what purpose is the multitude of the sacrifices unto me? What is God saying? You see, including Abel's sacrifice, right? If it were to be in the fact that an animal alone was considered and slaughtered unto God, God doesn't benefit from it. Look at it again, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of the sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? He says, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts. Yeah, the fat of fed beasts, right? The fat of fed beasts, right? I'm full of it. What purpose is it to me? I do not benefit from the fat of fed beasts. So, did Abel bring the fat of fed beasts to God? Yes. Was it well pleasing to God? Yes. Yes, in the fact that he brought it for man, or he gave it to man. So, he showed a parallel love, or he showed a demonstration of love to man. Look at it again. He says, to what purpose? He says, to what effect, yeah? To what benefit is your sacrifices of burnt offerings of rams? He says, I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of goats, right? Look at what he says in verse 13. Bring no more vain oblation to me, and incense is an abomination. Your new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot deal with it, is iniquity. Why is it iniquity? Because they were bringing what they were to bring, but they were not bringing it for and to the right person. Right? So they were bringing it to God, but they were to bring it to God in that they will bring it to man. How do you know? Look at verse 16. How do you know? Wash yourself and make yourself clean and put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes and cease to do evil. What does cease to do evil mean? The evil from my eyes, what does it mean to cease to do that? Learn to do well in verse 17. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. What is seek judgment, relieve the oppressed? What the Philippians through Epaphroditus did to Paul. Did you get that? Right? So it would have been ridiculous for Ephesians or the Philippians to have killed a full animal and put on an altar and say, and left it there and said, God, come and take your full animal and your blood. And God will say, well, I don't have, to what purpose is this to me? I do not benefit from this, right? God will say, you are to take the meat of that animal and take it to a brother Paul who is suffering need, who has an infirmity. And we're together. So he says, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead the widows, right? So for Abel's sacrifice to have been acceptable, what does it mean? What does that mean? It means that he brought the sacrifice for the right reason, for and to the right person. Are we together? So who is to be the recipient of Abel's offering? Well, the recipient of Abel's offering will be equal to the kind or example of the recipient of the Philippians' offering. Right? Who was the recipient of the Philippians' offering? It will be the man called Brother Paul. Right? So who will be the recipient of Abel's offering? It will be the man probably called Cain. So John will now tell you, do not hate your brother. Right? Or go back to John 1, 1 John. So it means that, so when it says that Abel brought a sacrifice and God had respect to it, it means that God considers Abel to be a man walking in love in response to the message of love of God. So why, look at it carefully, why Moses is a very, very interesting teacher. So why was Cain's sacrifice not accepted? It is not because he brought fruit rather than animal. It is because he brought that which is not of love. Right? He brought that which is not of love. He brought that which is not of the love work. So he brought that which is not well-pleasing. So it is not well-pleasing to God because it is not of what? Love work. Right? Don't forget Ephesians 5, yeah? And walk in love as Christ has loved, even as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice, right? A sweet-smelling savour, right, to God. Altogether. So the sacrifice man was to bring to God, God is saying, well, okay, bring it to me, but let me see that you bring it to me in that you give it to another man. What is in that you give it to another man? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Altogether. So that's why Isaiah will make it clear. He says, see, stop doing this evil. What is the evil? Bringing ram to God. Meanwhile, there are men that are oppressed that can eat or feed from the ram. Yeah? Bringing blood to God. Right? That is the blood of animals that have been killed, right? What are you to do? What were they to do? They were to seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widows. That means the less privileged. What do you do to them? Rather than, listen carefully what I'm saying. I'm not saying rather than take it to church, take it to orphanage home. No, I'm saying rather than taking it to say this is for God. And look at it. Imagine you want to give people who are within your local church £1,000 pounds to share amongst themselves, right? What I'm teaching today is, do not take your £100 and go drop it in the auditorium where we use for Sunday service, and you say it is to God, or you go and drop it on the middle of nowhere, right? It is that we know how we see it is to God in the way we see it is to another man, right? Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows, right? So in the real sense, how did you get there? So fundamentally, what did Abel bring? An offering. What did Abel bring? An offering that is acceptable. What have we said about offering in the last few weeks? We said, when you think about offering, you think about sacrifice. When you think about sacrifice, you think about worship. So if the sacrifice is accepted, the offering is accepted, the worship is accepted. Did you get that? Right? Look at Psalm 40, verse 5. Psalm 40 verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, that cannot be reckoned up in other unto thee. If I will declare and speak of them, they are more than can be what? Numbered. Yeah? Look at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. So does God desire sacrifice and offering? Yes and no. What did Isaiah say? God has no benefit. God is asking, to what purpose are you bringing these sacrifices of animals to me? Right? So Psalms is saying, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. So does God desire sacrifice and offering? Yes and no. What do I mean by yes and no? Yeah, you should be following, right? Yes and no will mean yes on account of the fact that God needs it for another man. That means you give another man. No, in that God needs it because God wants to eat it, or God wants to do anything to it with it. If there's anything at all that God will want to do with your sacrifice and your offering, it is for another man to benefit from it. What is that? Don't forget, the Pharisees would have asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus would say, the whole law can be summarized in two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah? So what is love? Thy Lord with all thy God, with all thy heart. Yeah, believe is love. On account of that, share love to another. How did Isaiah say share love to another? I say seek judgment, right? Relieve the oppressed, right? Judge the fatherless, right? Plead for the widows, right? So look at verse 6, Psalm 40 verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears had thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Yeah. So does God require burnt and sin offering from man? Every burnt and offering, let me see how I ever say that. Every burnt and sin offering, let's call it burnt offering. Yeah, offering that is burnt. Yeah, who should benefit from that? That is what you call roasted meat. Who should benefit from that? Man should benefit from that, right? So what does man should benefit from that? That should quench the hunger of man. Are we together? Look at Hebrews 10. I hope you're following me this evening. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices. Yeah? What is those sacrifices? Those offerings. Right, which they offered year by year, make the comma thereunto perfect. Why couldn't their sacrifice? So, what was their sacrifice that they were trying to use to make themselves perfect? What was it supposed to be used for? Seek judgment, walk in love. Simple. Yeah, walk in love. As who? As Abel. Not as who? Cain. Yeah, for they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged would have had no more conscience of sin. Look at verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Right? It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So God is asking for sacrifices, but not for himself. God is asking for sacrifices for another. What is God is asking for sacrifices for another? God is asking for love work for another. Now, so if you replace the word sacrifice or offering in God is asking for sacrifice or offering God, so look at it this way. You see, write this statement in your book. God is asking for sacrifice / offering. Just jot it somewhere in your book, right? I'll show you something now. So, right, God is asking for sacrifices and offering. Yeah, write it down somewhere in your book, okay? Now, you see that sacrifice and offering, put it in brackets, right? And put love work, right? So if you can, if you want to write a sentence, you can write it separately. How do you write it? God is asking for love work. All right. So go back to the first sentence and say, God is asking for sacrifices and offering for himself. Yeah? And go to the second line and say, God is asking for love work for himself. Do you understand? So if God is asking for love up for himself, doesn't make sense. I'm sure you know it doesn't make sense to you, right? So if God is asking for sacrifices and for love work for himself, doesn't make sense to you, he also should mean that God is asking for what? Sacrifices and offering for himself. How did I say that? Yeah. If God is asking for sacrifices, for love work for himself, doesn't make sense to you, it means that God is asking for sacrifices and offering for himself shouldn't make sense to you. Did you get that? Right? Yeah? So, God is not asking for... Imagine. You say, I'm walking in love towards God. Imagine that. You see, it doesn't make sense. So, if you are saying, I'm walking in love towards God, it doesn't make sense. It means that you are saying, I'm bringing a sacrifice towards God. It doesn't make sense. So, who are you walking in love towards? Another man. Who are you bringing sacrifices for? Another man. So, did the Philippians bring a sacrifice to God? Yes, in that they brought it to and for another man. Are we together? So God is asking not for himself, but for another. Are we together? So what is the... Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 20. Let me show you something. Jeremiah 7:20. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Now look at verse 21 carefully. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them. So if there's an anger that is to be poured out upon, yeah, it will be an anger that is poured out upon that which is not part of the instruction of walking in love. I'll touch that on Sunday. For I spake not unto the fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of land concerning the burnt offerings and sacrifices. But these things I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Right? So, for if it is that I will be your God, you shall be my people, it is that there will be an instruction of you receive of my love, and you will be my people, in the fact that we now see that having received of the love, you what? You give an expression to the love, which is the love work to another. Are we together? So, was Abel's worship accepted? Yes. So, I'm getting a twist right now. So, worship will deal with sacrifice, will deal with offering. Right? Worship will deal with bringing a sacrifice and bringing an offering. Right? Worship will bring with the act act and the art of that which is brought and what is brought. We saw that on Sunday and over the last week, right? That the wise men will come to worship in that they will bring a gift. Right? So, the Philippians will worship, will bring a sacrifice and you call it well-pleasing to God. Are we here? Have you gone on? Right? Look at Luke 11. Let me show you something. Look in Luke 11:50. Should I dwell there? Well, look at Luke 11:50. Let me see if I should touch there today. I leave that. Look at Luke 11:50. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world. Who would that in regards, who would that fundamentally start with? Yeah? Foundation of the world, prophet shed, blood shed. Who would that fundamentally start with? Yeah, you should see Abel now. So was Abel a prophet? Yes. Who is a prophet? That which will speak the counsel, right? So was Abel going, did Abel hear? How do you know he's talking about Abel? Look at verse 51. From the blood of Abel. Did you see that? See what it says there? He says that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. He now tries to explain what he means by the blood of all the prophets. He says, from the blood of Abel. So from there, you see that Abel was a prophet. Right? So Abel was a prophet. Who's a prophet? A prophet is one that will speak the counsel of God. What would be the fundamental counsel of God? It would be about the love of God. So did Abel know and preach about the love of God and act the love of God? Yes. Yeah? Yeah? Well, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of the generation. Now, woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge, ye have entered not into yourselves, and then that were entering ye hindered. Right? So Abel will be a prophet, an example of a prophet that will hear the message of love and be a spokesperson on behalf of God. Right? So did Abel know about the message? Look at it. You can't be a prophet of God without having heard a message of God. Yeah? Imagine you came to my house and you left my house and I didn't give you any message. And you say you're a prophet of Joshua. Or let me use the normal word. I'll make you understand. He says you are a spokesperson of Joshua. Yeah? And you go there and keep talking on my behalf. Yeah? For you to go to any place to speak on my behalf or be my spokesperson, it means I will send you. Or I'll give you what to say. Or I'll give you the content of what to say. So they can't call you my spokesperson when you are not really representing me and I've not told you what you have to say. So if Abel is going to be a prophet or going to be a spokesperson for God, it means that Abel heard the message that God wants to propagate on the earth. Yeah? How did 1 John 3 say it? This is the message from the beginning. Yeah? Love one another. So did Abel preach that message? Yes. So, did Abel hear the message? Yes. Did Cain hear the message? Yes. Did Abel believe the message? Yes. How do you know? Look at Hebrews now. Go all the way to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Go all the way to Hebrews 11. And if you look at verse 4. Yeah? Yeah? So read Hebrews 11 through the lens of Philippians 4. A well-pleasing, that's well-pleasing to God, or a sacrifice accepted. So it says Hebrews 11, 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Yeah? So what is the offering that Abel brought that is more excellent than Cain? The offering that is the sacrifice of the love work, by which he obtained righteousness, that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Who's Abel first? Abel is a one that brought a sacrifice that was well pleasing to God. Who else is Abel? Abel is a prophet. So for Abel to have had faith, or for Abel to have been a prophet, it means Abel had faith. Because Abel had faith, he believed in what he heard, he now brought an excellent sacrifice. That is what? Well-pleasing to God. That is what? That is well-pleasing to God. So Abel believed in God's love and did what? Showed love. Cain heard God's love and he did not. So that's why 1 John. Go back to 1 John here. Yeah? 1 John 3. So look at 1 John 3 again. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. Yeah? What beginning will that be? The beginning, Genesis. That we should love one another. So what has been the message from the beginning? That we should love one another. Who is an example of one who did not act according to the instruction and command from the beginning? Verse 12. Look at it again. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain. So who is Cain? Cain is one that brought a sacrifice but was not excellent. Who is Abel? Abel is one that brought a sacrifice, and being a prophet, he brought a sacrifice that was well-pleasing or accepted, which is what you call a more excellent sacrifice according to Hebrews 11. I hope that tickled you a little, right? So it got you thinking, right? So it means that the concept of Abel and Cain is not a concept about God prefers animals to fruits. No, it's a concept of, in the real sense, there is that which is well-pleasing to God. And we see that which is well-pleasing to God when we see that which you do to man. You see how it links into wooden love? right? Yeah, love thy neighbor as thyself means love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. Or love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind means receive of his love, then give that love yet more to another. Are we together? So on Sunday we started talking about praise. So what would praise be? Right, I just took you there to show an example of what worship will be and how there will be a sacrifice or an offering that will be brought. We saw that example as well in Genesis 22, right? So we now started talking about praise, and we said praise will be to speak well of something that has been accepted. Yeah. So what was Paul doing in Philippians 4? Go back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. You got the answer, right? So what is Philippians 4 saying? Philippians 4 is saying, verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have done well, or ye have well done. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, ye have well done upon account of the sacrifice that you have brought, which is, look at verse 18, sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Hallelujah. So Christ Jesus will be the first sacrifice that is acceptable, well-pleasing to God for man. Then man picks that sacrifice and extend that act of sacrifice to another. Right? So look at what he now says. But my God shall supply all your needs. So how is God to supply all their needs? God is to supply their needs the way they supplied his need. That's Paul. Right, so if another now supplies the needs of the Philippians, what will you call their sacrificial giving that supplies their need? It is what you call a sacrifice acceptable that is well pleasing to God. Are we together? So, what is Paul doing? Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, ye Philippians know also that from the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. What is he trying to do? He's praising them. So, what is praise? Praise will be to speak well of the sacrifice accepted. You see that, right? So, they worshipped in the real sense in that they brought a sacrifice and brought an offering. Right, and their bringing of sacrifice and offering was in regard or in relation to their worship to God. It becomes a well-pleasing sacrifice to God in the fact that it is given to another. Hallelujah. It is given to another. It is given to another. So it means that by extension, we need to pay attention as much as possible to what exactly will be the account of praise, or what exactly will be praise to us as believers. Right, I've taken you through that journey of what worship is, the three gifts that were brought by the wise men, you know, Abel bringing a worship sacrifice offering that is well acceptable, Abraham bringing the same, you know, we've seen examples like that. So what will praise be? Are we together? So go all the way to Ephesians 1. Let me start the journey here today. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you there? Right, so you see, you can actually sing a psalm around what Abel brought, right? And we will be like Abel, that by faith we believe in the work of Christ Jesus, or believe in the work of God, or believe in the love of God. And we will not be like Cain, yeah, right? And because we know we are like Abel, who by faith would have received the love of God, we know that we are eternally secured in God's arm. We know that we are forever God's children. Blessed be God who has made us his child. Blessed be God who through his faithfulness he has extended his hand towards us, right? And that's a song, ready. Yeah, so simple, straightforward, yeah? Not complex at all. Are we together, right? Yeah, so let me answer the question, yeah? Someone asked me a question just on Sunday after church, right? One of us, yeah? And she asked the question, is praise about the tune or is praise, well, or just around those forms of questions, right? And the answer to that question is simple. What is, let me phrase the question differently. What is more important, the tune or the lyrics? It has to be the lyrics. Are we together? For you can sing the lyrics of God's love and God's faithfulness on any tune, on any beat. Are we together? But if you have the greatest beat and you lack the accurate lyrics, you've not done well in praising. Now look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heaven, where? In Christ Jesus. Right? Now that word blessed, let's take a little look, right, at the word blessed. You see, in life, as believers, let me say this to you. You know, a man can be so after material things that even if the devil gives it to him, he begins to praise God because he thinks he was God. That's important to think about. You see, don't be too material driven that in the real sense you give yourself your attention to things that should not count, on the real sense, things that don't have eternal value. Let me say that differently, that you prioritize over the work of Christ Jesus things that have do not have eternal value. Right now, there are two words I want us to examine between now and the next 2 weeks. And the first word is the word blessed or blessing. And the second word is the word riches. Now, I want to look at what exactly is riches to God. We've tried looking at what exactly is worship in the Bible context. We're trying to look at what praise is in the Bible context. Let's look at what blessing and blessed is in the Bible context. Now, look at verse 3 again, Ephesians 1:3, carefully. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Right now, interestingly, a lot of us have picked that scripture and removed the word spiritual. Now, so how do you people read that scripture? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all blessings. Right? Oh, for our God has blessed, lift up your hands, for God has blessed us with all blessings. Well, yes, as God blessed us with all blessings, yes, the Bible qualifies the blessings. It calls it spiritual blessings. Are we together? Now, what are the spiritual blessings? Now, let's look at the word blessed. The word blessed in the Greek, right, has only two words are used to illustrate. So, when you see in your English Bible, maybe between Matthew or Revelation, the word blessed, right, there are two words that are used for that word. And the two words are number one, Makarios, and the second word is the word eulogy. Are we together? Right? Theology and what? Makarios. Now, blessed in the Bible is not used fundamentally by Jesus, the apostles, and the epistles and the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John for material things. You know, I understand in our world, you say, God blessed me with a job. Well, God blessed me with a car. Well, but for every time you see the word blessed used with Jesus, with the apostles, we don't see material things aligned or around those conversations. I was blessed with a baby. Oh, yeah, we understand that. But in Bible words, the word blessed there, fundamental. So, look at it well. So, when you ask a fellow, another believer, I say, oh, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm blessed. Right? A lot of time, what they are saying is, I'm blessed in that, oh, things are going well for me. My car is working well. My house is beautiful. My whatever is this. My job is going well for me and all of that. Right? But let's look at how the word blessed is used fundamentally across scriptures. Now, if we say the word blessed is used for material things, we need to question lots of usages. Now, we said the first word used for blessed in the Greek is the word makarios. Are we together? Right? And the second word used for blessed is the word eulogy. Don't forget, you're in Ephesians 1. Let's do a quick study. You're in Ephesians 1, right? And we're trying to explain the word blessed in verse 3. Now go all the way to Matthew 5, verse 3. You're in Matthew 5, verse 3. Look at Matthew 5, verse 3, right? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Is he saying materially successful? So let's assume we mean blessed means materially okay. Yeah? So look at that now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So materially successful are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Verse 4, materially successful are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yeah? Materially successful are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Now, this word blessed is the word makarios. And let me tell you what it means. It's a word that means fortunate. It's a word that means fortunate. Yeah, it's a word that means fortunate. A word that means fortunate. A word that means fortunate. Don't forget that, right? So now, how do you read Matthew 5? Matthew 5, 3. Fortunate are the poor in the spirit. That means it's a thing to be fortunate about. It's something fortunate. Are we together? Right? So poor in the spirit will not mean to lack the spirit. Poor in the spirit will not mean to not have money in the spirit. Look at verse 4. Fortunate are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Are we together? Right? So look at verse 7. Fortunate are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Fortunate are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. I'll look at what you call the beatitude in another series, but let's dive into that because I'll be distracted. Okay, look at Acts 20. Let's jump to Acts 20 quickly. Acts 20, 35. Acts 20, 35. Are you there? Look at verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. So what is Paul's teaching to the saints? Paul's teaching to the saints is labor that ye may support the weak. How does he mean, what kind of labor is he talking about? And look at verse 34. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity, right? And to them that were with me. What is my necessity? It is my needs, my what you call in Philippians 4, he called it my infirmity. Is that what? Well, so look at it. So he says, verse 34. Yeah, look at verse 33. Look at the context properly, right? I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You see, this is one of your greatest brags as a believer or as a pastor, so to say, or as a leader of others should be being able to make the boast of Paul in Acts 20:33, that I can beat my chest and say I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Hallelujah. Right? Well, he says, yea, even ye yourselves, you know that this my hands, yeah, I can say that, I can boast about that. My hands have ministered unto my necessities. Happy am I if I can remain this way and keep boasting about this in decades to come. Are we together? It's my goal, right? That I've used my hands to minister to my necessities, mind you, and also to them that are with me. Happy am I to make that boast. Yeah, right? So Paul will say, I have used my hands to minister unto my necessities and to them that are with me. That means those that are in need, that are suffering need, including myself, I've met my needs by laboring. So it means that in the case where Paul was sent things to, when Philippians sent through the hands of Epaphroditus things to meet Paul's need, it is not because Paul was not working and sitting in one office waiting for their seed. No, it is that because he could not at the time. Are we together? Read Philippians very well. You see how you talk about him being in bonds. Did you get that? Right? So what was Paul's fault? Let me ask you a question. How were Paul's needs met? Number one, he labored with his hands. Number two, saints brought a sacrifice or sacrifices acceptable that are well pleasing to God. Did you see that? Right? What is number one? What is number one? Number one is Paul labored with his hands, took care of his necessities and those that were with him. Look at verse 35. Paul says, I have showed you these things. Right? When he says, I have showed you all things, he's not saying Paul. So, you know, I've heard somebody teach very ridiculously saying, Paul that wrote Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things. And the same Paul said in Acts 20:35, he says, I've showed you all things. Yeah, because Paul can do all things, he can show you all things. So a man can do all things and show you all things. Well, that's not what Paul is teaching. So Paul is talking about in regards to not coveting no man's silver or ministering to his necessities and those that are with him. So Paul is saying, I've showed you how these things are done. How do you know that's what he's saying? Look at what he says in the next line. He says, how that so laboring ye ought to support. So it means that I have showed you the template of laboring to meet your necessities and those with you. Yeah, you get that, right? So it means that there is nothing too small that you can actually get that you cannot use to supply or support the necessity of those around you. Yeah, why? Because you know there will always be those who will be weaker than you. At it and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it's more blessed. Yeah, so what did we say blessed is in our world today? Materially successful. Yeah, or things are going well for me. So look at what he's saying. So Jesus said, it is more things are going well for you to give than to receive. Doesn't make any sense, right? Yeah, or Jesus is saying, it is more materially successful, or it is more materially beneficial, that's what he's teaching, to give than to receive. What will be the word used there? The word there will be what? Fortunate. Do you understand? You are fortunate to have, to be able to give. Do you get that? Yeah? Not, there is more blessing, because people can teach this verse and now go and mix it with Paul, when Paul will say that concerning giving and receiving, you have ministered to my needs. And I'll say, oh, when you give, you are blessed the more. Your pocket increases, your land bound increases, your this increases. Well, that's what it's teaching. So it's more blessed to give than to receive simply means you are more fortunate to give, or it is more fortunate to give than to receive. Praise God. Yeah, go all the way to Romans 4. Go all the way to Romans 4, verse 7. Romans 4, 7. Look at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed, materially successful are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Yeah? You see that? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah? Materially successful are they whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And materially successful is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Yeah? What does that really mean? What's the word there, blessed? It's the word makarios. It's the word what? Fortunate. So how do you read that properly? Verse 7. Fortunate are they whose iniquities are given. Are you not fortunate? Yeah? Whose sins are covered. Are you not fortunate? Look at verse 8. Fortunate is the man, myself, yourself, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Are you not fortunate? Are we together? So what he calls it in verse 9, he now calls this blessing or blessedness. So commit this blessedness, right? So it's a blessing that your sins are forgiven. You are fortunate that your sins are forgiven. Are we together? So fortunate is the man whose sins are not imputed. That means his forgiveness or his sins are forgiven. Nothing material. Are we together? Look at the other use of the word blessed as eulogy. Now remember I said there are two words blessed. One is makarios, one is eulogy. Now look at Ephesians, Luke 1. Luke 1:68. Now, Luke 1:68, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Fortunate be the Lord God of Israel. You see, you want to slap yourself, right? Right? Fortunate be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people. So he is fortunate. Let him catch you. Well, so the word blessed there, we speak well. That means we are speaking well of the Lord God of Israel, who had visited and redeemed his people. Did you get that? Look at Romans 1:25. Romans chapter 1. Verse 25, he says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the serves and serve the creator more than the creator, who is blessed. That means well spoken for, who is blessed forever. Are we together? Who's well spoken about forever? Look at Romans 9:5. Whose are the fathers and whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Altogether, to speak what we've spoken well about, right? If you look at 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, that means we speak well, not fortunate be God. See that? Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us. So we speak well of a God who comforts us in all our tribulation. That's what I was talking about there. Right? Look at 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and I'll run over them again. We've done Luke 1:64. We've done Romans 1:25. We've done Romans 9:5. We've done 2 Corinthians 1:3. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1:1. Yeah. I might look for what there. Did I skip that? Did I miss that? Okay, I think I missed that then. Do you want to go all the way to 1 Peter 1? First Peter 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy." So he's saying we speak well. That's the word eulogy. To speak well or to say something good. So we speak well of our God who has forgiven us our sins. Right? We speak well. That means he was never used for anything material. So let's close in Ephesians 1, verse 3. I'll look at some other ones on Sunday. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in" what? "In heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I would get that. That means we speak well of our God and Father who has spoken well. He has. That means we say well of the God who has said well. What are the things he has done and said regarding us that are true and forever the fact? Verse 4, "according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." So we speak well of a God who has chosen us, yeah, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the word beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ," right? "Both which are in heaven." So in one all things in Christ will not be all things on the earth, right? It's talking about people. "Both which are in heaven and in the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in" what? "Christ Jesus. Now in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of an inheritance of the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you see that? Right? So the word blessed is used for things spiritual, right? Or speaking well regarding or being fortunate regarding a conversation, right? Nothing material. We're going to look at the next word, riches. This will baffle you, yeah? Because a lot of us actually think that the word riches has to do with material wealth to God. Well, we'll look at that on Sunday to understand what exactly riches will be. And by extension, from there, we'll take it to the next level and now start talking about what singing scripturally is and what regular scripture singing is. And like I would always say, the practice or the popularity of a practice doesn't make it biblically right. Yeah, when it comes to the matters of God, majority doesn't always carry the vote in the things of God. Majority doesn't always carry the vote in the things of God. Majority doesn't always mean the reality. Hallelujah. Well, been a beautiful pleasure to bring your way, God's word your way this evening. I hope you've been instructed by today's teaching and learned a few things about the narrative we've had today. Well, I'll come your way on Saturday. Take out time to rest properly on Friday. So, I love you so dearly. Have a lovely night. Cheers.